Hello and welcome to the SS&C Alps Advisors 14er podcast. I'm your host, Paul Baiocchi, joined as always by my good friend, Rob McClure, ready to dig into our multi-asset research team's 2023 investment outlook. How you doing, Rob?
I'm great, Paul. How you doing? Happy Friday.
Yeah, happy Friday. Happy New Year. Excited about this. Certainly was sorry to miss the investment committee meeting in person this year, but looking through the deck that you put together, it seems as if, based on the meeting and some of the changes, that the outlook for 2023 isn't exactly business as usual carrying over from 2022. There are some pretty significant material changes to the outlook, the capital markets backdrop, and some of the asset classes that you guys look at. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I'd say from an overall standpoint, what hasn't changed is the overall views on the asset classes, but there's a lot going on under the surface. So while the investment committee remains underweight equities and neutral on both fixed income and real assets, there have been some pretty significant changes within those asset classes on what we find attractive and where we potentially avoid some exposures. Obviously, from a macro standpoint, the Federal Reserve remains in its tightening phase, which had the expected outcome on things like equity multiples and fixed income returns. But we're probably in the later innings of that situation. So we did rethink some of the things that we're interested in highlighting to investors for 2023. Yes.
Great. So maybe what we'll do is we'll just start with a high level overview of sort of an executive summary, if you will, of the outlook for 2023 and some of the high level changes within some of the asset classes you guys look at.
Yeah. So, like I mentioned, the Fed remains kind of on the front of everybody's mind. Inflation remains stubbornly high. We had the print this week where it's still above 6%, and core inflation remains above 5%. So we don't see the Fed easing up on its tightening, although it may start to press the brake here in the first half. But as long as the Fed continues that tightening phase, we would be underweight equities. Now, in terms of underpinning that, one of the things that we're focused on within equities is really three things. Value, we think value as a factor still has legs. Quality is something we're also very interested in, and dividends. So one of the things that we want to see as the cost of capital goes up is cash flows that are more near term in nature. So, the hardest hit sectors in the equity markets in the back half of 2022 were those companies that had cash flows that were many years into the future. So think software and other technology companies, whereas quality businesses in, for example, industrials, in some of the consumer staples, utilities. These are companies that have cash flows that are near term, and therefore not as impacted by the change in the cost of capital. So those are really the three themes for this year in equities for Alps: is quality, value, and dividends. Within fixed income, it's kind of the same story. We're very interested in nearer term cash flows, so we'd be overweight the shorter duration fixed income, and we're not as bullish as we were last quarter on things like high yield and municipal bonds, but we do have a focus on higher quality investment grade credit. And then in terms of the real assets, it's kind of a tug of war with real assets, because on the one hand, you do have in both real estate and commodities kind of a natural inflation hedge You also have the prospect of course, higher rates impacting the real estate market and a potential for an economic slowdown in 2023 impacting the prices of commodities. So, we think that the tug of war there leans us towards being neutral, but especially in commodities, we do think longer term. So think out, the 3 to 5 year time frame. You do have some serious underpinnings of supply constraints that could put a floor on commodity prices in a lot of ways.
Yeah, and I think the other piece of the commodity story is just the nature of the asset class, whereby you don't have those cash flows that are representative of dividend stocks or in some cases value stocks. And so it is that push-pull in terms of capital markets dynamics between assets in the commodities complex that don't generate cash flows and the inflation hedge, but also the demand side of the equation, which in theory, should we be entering or at the very least on the precipice of a recession, should suppress end market demand for a lot of those commodities products. And I think that is one of the big headline themes here entering 2023 is this stuff is really difficult. And your team pours a lot of research and resources into these outlooks on a annual and quarterly basis. And there's things we're going to get wrong and there's things we're going to get right. But ultimately, none of this is to say that we have a crystal ball any more than anyone else does. And certainly, from the perspective of where we were in 2022 and how that impacts our outlook for 2023, the reality is that we do our best to distill the information that the market provides to us and make informed decisions based on that. So with that, I'd like to maybe dig into the equity space a little bit more. We talked about the factor level, dividends, value, quality. What about at the sector level? I know you've made some changes there, and I'd like to maybe get a feel for what the changes are and how the push-pull between near-term tactical and long-term strategic is going.
Yeah, I think that's a good point you bring up. When we talk about these outlooks, the investment committee meets once a quarter, and one of the things that we have to take into account is both the longer term view as well as what do we think is going to happen over the next couple of quarters. And that's really where we have some movement within our ratings, especially at the sector level within U.S. equities. So, for example, we have been for, at least a year, pretty bullish on the energy space. And I think that was the right place to be. Energy really, I hate to say it's different this time, but the amount of CapEx going into the energy space remains, while it's increased, is still not really where it would need to be if we were to go back to, say, the 2017. But so you still have some supply issues there, but the equities have priced a lot of that optimism in. So we decided to take our foot off the gas on the energy space. We're not bearish. We're neutral, so we would be market weight energy. But one of the things we did do was we upgraded our weight to industrials, with most of the other sectors remaining unchanged. Industrials is really an interesting sector in the sense that it's so diverse. There are a number of companies within that sector that have some of the attributes that really we're looking for, which is very high quality, good solid free cash flow generation, and the ability to pay and grow their dividends, which is, I think, one of the things that we're pretty focused on. We're not necessarily investing in the high dividend space because there's a lot of risky stocks within there, but more about quality companies that can continue to grow their dividends. That gives you a little bit of an inflation hedge if that inflation number remains stubbornly high.
Yeah, and I think the global marketplace is certainly really relevant to industrials in terms of some of these multinational companies within the sector. And you're right, it is the most diverse sector when you look at the number of industry groups, the differentiation among industry groups, and the correlations between those industry groups and industrials. It's very different than, say, energy, which tends to move in concert and have high intra-sector correlation. I would also like to segue into the ex-US story, because it's been a very popular theme in the research that I've seen going into 2023, the sort of ex-US outperformance, or the guidance that we're going to start to see a reversion between that US outperformance that we've seen for really 15 years and perhaps some outperformance from emerging markets and ex-US markets. What's the team's view on ACWI, IFA, EM, et cetera?
It's a great question, Paul, because we did upgrade from underweight to neutral on both developed international and emerging markets. And I think a lot of that is based on one of the comments that you just made. So we've seen the U.S. outperform for 15 years. Normally, those cycles run about 7 to 8 years. So it's very long in the tooth, the period of outperformance for the U.S. Plus, you have, you know, the sentiment around, especially Europe, in 2022, of course, was very negative. Obviously, with what's going on in Ukraine, and you know, the potential for kind of a disastrous winter, given energy prices over there. But the milder winter, you know, is something that's good news. The other thing is, from a valuation standpoint, both Europe and developed and the emerging markets look pretty attractive compared to the U.S. And then finally, if you have a continued weakening in the dollar, which really started a couple months ago, that provides another tailwind for European and other equities. So I think the overriding theme is that, and in particular, Europe kind of was left for dead, and you know, that there's very little priced in. And so from a dollar standpoint, from a valuation standpoint, we think now is the time to start paying attention to markets outside of the U.S.
Okay. And so we did dig in a little bit to the real assets category. So I'd love to just put a bow on all of this and dig in a little bit further to the fixed income markets, because 2022 was certainly an anomaly historically in terms of the performance of the ag and performance of the fixed income segment of investor portfolios. And I just wanted to get a feel for what the tone is in the team as it relates to fixed income, and perhaps extract a couple specific talking points on that.
Yeah, I think Chris Proctor, who's our fixed income strategist, put it very well when he said during the meeting, the hawk has not landed. So the Fed is still hawkish. And so that, because of that, it drives our views on both quality, so investment grade credit, as well as shorter duration assets. But having said that, we think it's appropriate at this point to take a bit of a barbell approach, where, you know, we're overweight the shorter end of the curve and underweight the belly of the curve, but we'd be starting to take some exposures out in the longer end, in the longer duration treasuries, really as an insurance policy. But so the view has changed a little bit in terms of the nuance of it, still focused on that shorter duration, higher quality credits, as well as layering in some exposure on the long end of the curve.
Great. Well, this has been really informative. I always enjoy these conversations, Rob. I certainly appreciate everyone for tuning in and listening. This has been the SS&C Alps Advisors 14er podcast for 2023 investment outlook. We will certainly be back next quarter. Rob, I'll talk to you soon. Have a great week. Happy New Year, everyone. We'll talk to you next time.